You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at F&B Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. Wayne, I'm looking at certain stocks and I get slightly worried. And when I say worried, I mean, yeah, really worried, like Telkom and Capitec and Transaction Capital. And these are stocks that are, they're South African stocks, Wayne. Do you worry about these things?
Yes. Yes, of course we all do. Just on Telkom, Telkom came up with a trading update.
Yes.
And, you know, they do mention the load shedding and all of these problems. I mean, we know all about this, so that's not new to anyone. But the reason for the share down 15 or 16% was because of all the write-offs and what they're doing in the company. So essentially what they're saying is we can't carry on the way we are in the current environment with effectively all the changes in how we communicate, and no one's using landlines anymore. In fact, no one's talking anymore, let alone talking on landlines. So they got to, they're writing off 13 billion rands worth of assets, and they're taking a restructuring charge and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So as far as I can, just to summarize, they're writing off 13 billion rands worth of assets, and their earnings go into a slight loss or go to zero, so there's no earnings. And it was a whole story about how we got to restructure this business, and we got to, you know, move with the times, and we can't stay with the legacy side of Telkom anymore, et cetera, et cetera. So the market clearly wasn't expecting Telkom to come out and say earnings have disappeared, and effectively we're going down the wrong path and we've got to change it. And that's why the share has been so hammered.
What are you saying though, Wayne? I'm hearing different stories here. The company's dire straits. I remember this thing.
Yes.
I don't look at it very often. It was in the 50s. It's halved in value. This is a company that is being badly run and is not competing with the competition.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I can't remember quite offhand, but a good couple of years ago, the share rallied massively strongly.
Yes.
And it's given it all back. Yeah.
It went into the 50s.
Hmm. Yeah. And then it's given that all back. Look, it's not necessarily a reflection of bad management at Telkom, because they are effectively in the same boat as what Cell C is. To compete with Vodacom and MTN in, let's call it, the new age of communications, you need, I don't know what the number is, but you need 300 or 400 billion rand to set up a network to compete with Vodacom and MTN.
Yes.
And obviously Cell C and Telkom have got nothing like that. So what they've got to do is, in certain areas, they provide their own service, but otherwise to get full coverage, because if you didn't get full coverage, you wouldn't have a customer. They've got to piggyback off one of the other two big players' networks. And the moment you go on this piggyback scheme, you give up your margin. So in effect, unless you are a Vodacom or a Telkom, a Vodacom or an MTN, you actually cannot compete, because it's just way too capital intensive. It's far too capital intensive.
Okay, so
I was astonished that, because remember they were talking about merging with Cell C.
Yes.
Whether that would actually change the matters, I don't know. But I think you would stand a substantially better chance if they had to merge together, because on their own, effectively they lost causes, unfortunately, because you just don't have the capital to compete. Now, Telkom has tried to get, you know, to get away from their legacy assets. And as I said, I don't think it's a reflection on whether they're a bad company or not, bad management. I just don't think you can compete. There's just too capital intensive. So it's only quite recently that the cell phone business has actually turned profitable at Telkom. But, you know, Cell C and Telkom together is probably still 15% of the market, if that. It is possibly because of this whole CapEx story, a little bit of a lost cause for both of them.
I was looking at Vodafone's results from the United Kingdom in the last 24 hours. They're shedding 11,000 jobs over 3 years. And is this a reflection of the fact that these cellular telephony operators, providers, are now becoming utilities and the growth phase is over?
They are utilities,
Exactly.
The growth phase is way over.
Exactly. Now, and Telkom is one of those. Telkom is going to 10 rand a share, in my opinion.
Yeah, it could very easily. Look, the growth phase ended 10 years ago because, you know what, first of all, I think you and I might be one of the last people who actually talk on the phone. Everyone else is messaging.
We're on WhatsApp. We're on WhatsApp, Wayne, so let's not beat ourselves up. But anyway, I know what you mean. Go on.
Yeah, we're using data. Yes. But the point is, we're using data. We're not using a phone.
No, we're not.
And the costs of data will continue to fall because it's intensely competitive.
It'll be free.
I mean, the cost
very
of
soon.
Data in South Africa, cost of data in South Africa now is probably 20%, 25% of what it was 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, data killed you. It was so expensive. So you're in a environment where people are spending a lot more time on their phone, but your marginal revenue from that is actually going down. No one's actually talking on a conventional phone. Everything is data. And you're a utility, and as I said, it's intensely competitive. So, I mean, MTN, I know it's had ups and downs, but that was all related to its non-South African business. The South African business for Vodacom and MTN for a long time has actually been quite static and quite pedestrian. You get a good dividend out of them, but they're not growth companies by a long margin.
Wayne, does it tell you that in the future, the companies that we've been speaking of, whether it be Vodacom or Vodafone or Cell C or MTN or T-Mobile in Europe, etc., they will give you what you get now for nothing, but they will make money elsewhere because they have to adapt because of the competition situation? Because that's what I'm seeing. I don't know what you pay every month, but I pay €37.99 a month for everything, as much airtime as I like, as much data as I like. It'll eventually become something completely different in the next 3 to 6 years, maybe.
Yeah, because, I mean, being connected nowadays is actually a human right. I mean, if you imagine someone who has no access to the internet, I mean, you can't get educated. You can't bank properly. It is a basic human right. And because of that, governments will legislate to keep the prices down. And that's exactly what we're seeing in South Africa, is that the prices have been slashed by, is it NERSA? I don't know which government body does it. ICASA.
Who cares?
Who cares? It doesn't matter. But the point is, you know, it is a basic human right. And, you know, the cell phone companies have got to follow very complex laws to operate. And they've got to service all areas. You can't choose which, you know, you can't not service unprofitable areas. You've got to give coverage. It's quite a lot of legislation. So, but yes, and that's why MTN went to Nigeria and all the other non-South African countries. They went to Iran. And, you know, it's been a mixed bag as to whether they were successful, but they tried to go to companies that had very little penetration that was still going to be, you know, growth areas for them because they knew South Africa's gone X-growth.
That's a kind way of putting
it. And certainly with Vodacom, you get a nice dividend. So it's not a bad share to own, but you know, you're not going to, the share price isn't going to double in the next 2 years.
No.
Because these companies are ex-growth and poor Telkom is just too small. And so Cell C, I mean, I don't know how much money has been pumped into Cell C over the years, but it's probably approaching 30, 40 billion rand, maybe even more. You know, and it's still not successful. And you can chat to the Levy brothers about how they took you know, what is it? What's their company's name now? My mind's gone to Jenny.
Blue something.
Yeah. Blue Label. That's Blue Label.
Yeah.
About how much of their inherent wealth that they created in Blue Label has just disappeared into a money pit there called Salcia.
I know. That was a really arrogant.
And I mean, everyone, my own, own bank, you know, is a cell phone provider. They piggyback off one of the two big players. But you can go and get an F&B cell phone with F&B bills you and takes the money off the account. So these sort of like almost virtual operators, there's plenty of them around. That's an intensely competitive business.
Wayne, let's talk about other things now, because I know you're very, very, very patriotic, and I speak to other people who say, I'll tell you now that some other people say that Wayne is a fantastic fund manager, but on the other hand, he is being a little bit myopic when it comes to South Africa. And I look at my shares, my most views shares on the JSE today on this particular website that I use. Telkom down 17%, Capitec down 3%, Transaction Capital down 9%, all of which are South African stocks. Please give me a positive attitude towards South African stocks and justify them, please.
Well, look, everything goes through cycles, and the South African economy is going through a bad part of the cycle now, which is related to obviously load shedding, but more related to a downturn in commodity prices. And, of course, Transnet not being able to deliver the commodities even at a lower price to the ports. But all of these things, by and large, are cyclical. So let's talk around three aspects, I suppose.
Yes, please.
The first aspect let's talk about is the cyclicality of shares and the cyclicalities of economies and markets. So in 2015, you could have bought Anglo American for 50 Rand and you could have bought Kumba for 25 Rand.
Yeah.
Now, Kumba was 100% South Africa, and we had President Zuma had just fired Nene and put Desmond in, and the world was coming to an end, and don't touch South African shares. We're going to the dogs, and it is just an absolute disaster. Take all of your money overseas. The Rand traded at very close to the levels we are now, 18 Rand 50 or 18 Rand 80. Okay, then what happened was...
No. It's not close to that at all. It's 1930 cycle. At the moment. It's not even close to 1850. No,
well 1819, it's not that far off. If you look on the graph, it's hard to see. 1850 and 1930 is not that far.
I go to my bank and it's a long way away. But anyway, carry on, please.
Yeah. Okay. So, but it's similar. Okay, it's similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next stop for Kumba was 800 Rand, and the next stop for the Rand was... Was it 1260? Because the cycle changed. So don't think for a moment that the good times last forever and the bad times last forever, specifically related to share prices. So that's the first comment. The most emotion you get in investments is either at the top or the bottom. The bottom you want to give up, and at the top you just want more and more.
Yeah.
That's investing. That's the way the cycle works.
Quite right.
And clearly at the moment, South Africa and South African shares are in a down cycle. So the second point is very specific items related to those two companies. Capitec, the share price was just too expensive. We don't own Capitec because we always thought the share price was too expensive. And the reality is that Capitec's results are not bad. So they haven't... you know, disappointed massively on results, but the results didn't live up to the elevated share price. So now the Capitec share price is just coming down to a normalized valuation level. The Transaction Capital one is very specific, and that is South African related, and there was a complete mess up in their taxi business. And not as though per se they messed it up. The problem is the taxi owners and the taxi drivers, well, the owners can't make money because the price of petrol and everything has gone up so much, and they cannot pass the prices on to their commuters. So SA Taxi is related to South Africa. That is quite clear. And I mean, it is catastrophic what's happened in SA Taxis. I think they'll sort it out. I mean, despite the price being down quite significantly,
10%.
This is one of those. those deep oil, when you take it off the peak, you know, it's a hell of a lot more than 10%. Mm. But if you take it off, you know, where it's come from, it's, you know, it's been a precipitous fall. I still think that this is one of those deep value situations where, you know, you close your eyes and you buy it, because there are other businesses. We buy cars, and they've got quite a few other businesses that are actually fantastic businesses. So, you know, you are buying them at a discount because there's so much negative attached to SA Taxi. And the management of Transaction Capital, I mean, these are ruthless people in respect of business. If they can't restructure that business to make money, they will just close it, and then it will be gone. So either it's going to make money, or it's just going to disappear, and then you're left in Transactions Capital with actually the good businesses. Now, I'm not for a moment saying the share price can't fall further. You know, I did that one initial massive fall on the announcement, and then it clawed, I think it went from $8 to $13, but now it's going back to $8 or something like that. Not too good at remembering share prices.
Well, it's R7.02 at the moment, but that doesn't matter. I'm just saying that on my screen, I've got Telkom, Capitec, and Transaction Capital, all of which are South African stocks. And I love your optimism, and I hope it is justified.
Yeah, I mean, even on the Rand, you know, this has happened, as I mentioned, in 2018. It happened with COVID. It happens quite regularly that the Rand bombs out.
It does.
And when it bombs out, number one, you will only find bad news. There will not be a scrap of good news, even vaguely, on the horizon. In other words, when the Rand bombs out, it's bombing out because there is only bad news. So, you know,
you've answered your own question, which you were news, asking
but
yourself.
The cycle changes. The cycle changes. It doesn't stay bad forever, same as it doesn't stay good forever.
But Wayne,
you've seen this so many times. I've seen people panic.
I'm not going to tell you anything because you don't need to be told, because you're an intelligent, highly successful money manager. I came to the Netherlands in 2016. The Rand was 13 against the euro. It is now 20 plus to the euro. I mean, it's not just a blowout. It's a systemic. It's not a long-term bear market.
Statistically, no, you're wrong. You are totally wrong.
I'm not wrong,
statistically, the Rand is not in the long term. You are wrong.
Yes, it is.
The Rand is not a statistically bear market. The Rand over long-term periods depreciates by the inflation differentials between our partners and our major trading partners. It always has, and I think that will continue to do it. You're measuring now off the bottom of a commodity cycle with load shedding at its worst and this Lady R arms ship in Simonstown. But if you would have measured it, okay, let's take your specific example. If we were talking on the, I think it was the 12th of December, in 2015, you would have said exactly the same. The Rand stuffed long-term bear cycle. I came and it was 13 and it's now 20 and the Rand's buggered. What was the next stop for the Rand? And it went from 1850, as I said, to 1230. And I'll take you another, because the commodity cycle turned around. Give you another example. The Rand was 13 or something in 2002. Bottom end of a 10-year bear market in commodity prices. No one wanted to touch a commodity. They were old. They were old school. They were never going to recover. The commodities are finished. And then we got the commodity cycle turning up on the back of China. Next stop for the Rand was 650. You know, this is a cyclical phenomenon. And unfortunately now, we're measuring at the worst time of the cycle for domestic reasons but equally, if not more important, commodity price. In the price of platinum, the price of palladium is halved. The price of iron ore is halved. The price of coal is halved. Of course you're going to get a weak rand in that environment. We're a commodity-producing country. So over time, if you look through the cycle, the rand depreciates by 5-6% a year over long time periods. The real problem is it does it in one go, and then it stays relatively stable too strong for quite a long time. And, you know, so my biggest advice to people
Yes.
You ask me about investments, is I say to them, don't panic in extremes, either extremely positive or extremely negative. And that's not the Rand, that's shares, that's everything, that's .com, that's tech shares, that's Bitcoin, that's everything. Don't panic when there are extremes, either positive or negative. And I think people are prone, people by definition, I suppose, are prone to panicking. And now people want to panic at possibly the worst time of the cycle as far as the South Africa and the Rand is concerned.
Yeah,
just on the electricity,
this is a lovely theory, Wayne, and I love the way
it's borne itself out time and time again. Done it for 50, 60 years.
On June the 8th, 2022, the Rand against the US dollar was 15.28. And I just go forward now. I'm living this. And you can say, oh, no, Lindsay, this and everything else. It's a lot of nonsense. And it's now on May the 11th, 2023. It went to 1920, 1950. Now, this is real to me because I earn
Rand.
But this
is cyclical. It's not structural, man. And that's the point that I make.
15 to 19 is
cyclical. In that same time period.
Yeah.
In that same time period, the price of our exports have halved. Of course you're going to get a weak rand. The rand follows, in the shorter term, follows the commodity cycle very, very accurately because we are commodity producing. Now, if the rand had gone from 15 to 18 and the iron ore price had stayed the same and the palladium price had stayed the same, then I would say there's serious trouble here. Because then that would be specifically related to what's happening in South Africa.
When will you, Wayne, I'm not being nasty, when will you realize that there is some serious trouble in your country, which you love so much, and you love it for very, very good reason? When will you realize that there is serious trouble in South Africa? When will you acknowledge that?
We all know there's serious trouble here. There is, but there's serious trouble everywhere, by the way. But, I mean, maybe it is a little bit more in South Africa.
Yeah.
But it's very specific at the moment because of a commodity down cycle and load shedding. And essentially the problems in our country can be summarized in one word, and that's the government.
But the government is the country. You say, well, it's at the moment it's just load shedding. How long have you been load shed in Johannesburg? How long? You're a very clever person with the means
10 years, 12 years now? I don't know.
Do you say it's load shedding now? It's not. It's been a dozen years.
No, but we haven't had stage six. We haven't had perpetual stage six. That only started the end of last year.
I don't understand it. I honestly don't understand your points. I really don't. And you are a very, very successful
man. So what must I do? Must I just say, I'm packing it in and I'm leaving and I'm going to come move next door to you.
But you must acknowledge that...
Because I'll be taking the rand out at the worst time. I probably won't be able to get as good a job. And I'm still comfortable and happier. And as I come back to an earlier point I made, you've got to be very, very careful about making decisions in extremes. You have to be very, very careful. I've known so many people who just said, I'm giving up on this. It's the end of the story. I'm taking all my money overseas and I'm investing overseas because South Africa is going to the dogs and the Rand's going to the dogs. The people took that decision in 2002 at an extreme. Took them 10 years to get their money back in Rand terms.
Yes.
Because the Rand strengthened so significantly.
I'm not asking you.
The SA share market outperformed the US share market by 350% in dollar terms. So there's an extreme. People who panicked when Nene was fired, you know, they've only got their money back now. And it's another extreme. And that's the only time they've got their money where they've actually broken even is now from 2015, if they panicked in 2015. So my point is, don't panic in extremes. Just as in share markets, as in the Rand, just when things can't get any worse, they generally don't. Yeah. Same as when things can't get any better, they also generally can't get any better. You couldn't get a single person, when was it, 2019, 2020, I can't quite remember, who would take money overseas when the Rand was below 13 against the dollar. No, but why must take money overseas? The Rand's been stronger. That's the time you must do it. So you just got to caution by taking views in extremes because That's when mistakes are made. You know, all the people who bought Bitcoin at 65,000 because it's going to 100,000, their next stop was 18. No one in their wildest dreams would have said, you know, Bitcoin's going from 65,000 to 18,000. You know, it would have just been nuts. It's only going up. And that's an example of an extreme situation. Yeah, I'm not saying
that's nothing to do with South Africa. That's to do with the punting. It's like sports betting. It's like saying Manchester City are going to win everything, so I'm going to put all my money in there.
Extremes.
It's got nothing to do with it. It's only, what I'm saying to you is, yes, you're absolutely right. When the Rand goes to 1950, which it did a week ago, it comes back to 19, so there's 50 cents you've got there. But if you look at the graph now, the Rand, as you quite rightly said, is weaker because of inflation and interest rate differentials. It's going down all the time. I'm not saying South Africa's stuffed. I'm not saying you're wrong to love South Africa because for 28 years when I lived there, South Africa was very good to me. But unfortunately, it is a country that is in really, really big trouble. And that's why look at your screen, Transaction Capital, Capitec, and other South African stocks are doing badly, not because they're bad companies, not because they've got bad management, because the South African economy is under pressure at the moment.
But, okay, I'll give you a good example of my own company.
Yeah.
During the Zuma years when the Rand collapsed and Nene was fired and all of that thing, I think the share price was $22.
Right.
And the next stop was 68, eh? And now it's back to 60 or something like that. Mm. So these things can recover from extreme situations.
Very much so.
You know, you must not for a moment think that it's going to continue forever. These things are by and large cyclical. And we must just be cautious, as I said a few times now, about panicking in extreme situations. So I'm not saying South Africa is not in an extreme situation. It is. But these things, by and large, are cyclical. So just on electricity,
yes,
you know, we are going to have a surplus in 3 years' time. Because
what do you
there's
mean
massive
gonna,
private generation.
What do you mean you're going to have a surplus? Where's the surplus coming from?
It's by the private sector building generating capacity. There's 10,000 or 10 megawatts, 10 kilo, joulewatts, whatever. I never know how it's measured.
Nor do I.
But at the moment, that's 30 or 40% new capacity in the system. Now, I know the grid can't carry it at the moment, but it's easier to put wires up in a grid than it is to build a new power station. So we'll probably in the next 3 to 5 years have excess electricity and the price coming down, because the private sector, more than likely, as we get in euphoric and in desperate situations, the private sector sees a necessity that they've got to do. There'll probably be overinvestment by the private sector because they say, I can't trust Eskom, I've got to do it, and there's money to be made here, and I can sell my electricity and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I know 3 years is a long time, but there is an end to the situation that we're in now in the not too distant horizon. So you can maybe buy South African shares now and you'll be very unhappy. But over time, these things are cyclical and you'll probably make a half decent return because you're buying these companies quite cheaply now. You take Truworths. Now, Truworths is not suffering from the same input cost escalation as other companies because the cost of clothing is actually coming down because it's all imported at quite cheap rates.
Yeah.
But you're buying this at a 5 price earnings ratio. The dividend yields is higher than the price earnings ratio. So if you think there's any future, if you think that South Africa is not going to go up in flames in the next 3 years and there's going to be nothing left here, these shares are properly cheap at these levels. And that's when you buy. You know, what's the classic saying? Is you buy when there's blood in the streets.
Yeah.
That's when you buy. And there is blood in the streets in South Africa now. But that's when you buy South Africa. Same as in the new South Africa in 1994. I won't mention the chap's name, but he was a very, very well-known. No, I think it's unfair. He was an extremely well-known investment manager, merchant banker at the time.
Yes.
And there was all the riots with people who were killing themselves in the street of Joburg, the IFP fighting the ANC for ultimate control. And there was the mass rioting and killing in KwaZulu-Natal. And his clients were panicking and his dealers were panicking and his portfolio managers and investment managers were panicking, and he just said buy. He said, there's never a more graphic example of buy when there of the saying buy when there's blood in the streets than right now, because there actually is blood in the streets. And there was no hope for the new South Africa. We were descending into a new kind of civil war. And he made an extremely good decision.
It's so different now. It's so different now. We have democracy. Democracy has failed. On numerous occasions have told me that the reason that your signal is so bad and you have to drive to another part of Johannesburg is because you can't get a cell phone signal. Yeah. That is disgraceful. If, I'm going to ask, because we mustn't get on with this now because we're at loggerheads here. If you were 30 to 35 years old with the world's greatest rugby supporter, your partner, and you could get out, would you get out? If you were 30 to 35 years old, you wouldn't.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I honestly don't. I mean, it's hard to judge it because at 35, you know, I was a very... If I was 35 today...
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know the answer to is from 35 to my current age of 63, despite everything that's happened in South Africa, I've been extremely happy and I've liked it.
You've been lucky because you're clever and you're rich. That's why. You're clever. You're a clever man and you're a rich man. A lot of people are not clever.
If you come to the rich business, it's hard to replicate that, the standard of living, going to live in London or New York or Perth or Sydney. Eh? You don't quite live the same standard. Make no mistake about that. And also, you don't know the unknown. You're going to a strange country that might speak English, but you don't know the unknown. So I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just too conservative. I like the known, you know. I like the known versus the unknown.
Wayne, you're not conservative at all. You're very liberal. That's why I love talking to you. You're liberal. You're liberal about food and liberal about the way that you treat people and the way that you look at investments.
Yeah, but I don't.
You're not. You can't say that. You can't say just because you've got lovely weather that you want to live in South Africa. Come on now.
I still have a good life here, and I'll still support
it.
And plenty of people. They've said to me, and sometimes quite aggressively, no, you know, you're crazy. You got your head in the sand. The country's burning around so around your ears and everything like that. And I said, well, you know what? I'm still happy. And
which is the main thing.
I can still make money here, and I still live a good life here. And
which is fantastic. Yeah. But I will say, and I understand that, and that is why I don't get more aggressive with you, because you're 63 years old, you've made a good living, you're having a fantastic time, you've got hobbies and you've got your great hobby, and you've made a success of yourself, a huge success of yourself, and you have a wonderful partner and all that sort of stuff. But I'm saying that the 30 to 35-year-olds who are not entrenched in the South African braai and
then the
lovely
decision
weather,
is different.
They might have a look and say, you know what? Unfortunately, no, it's not for me. So, goodness me, you've exhausted me, Wayne. Let's talk about food now. have you got any food stories? Because I've got one for you, but yours first, please.
Yeah, a very, very quick one.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Mexican food person per se.
Okay.
I mean, I don't like this, let's call it the squishy Mexican food. So anything that's wrapped in a soft thing made out of flour that's squishy,
or
some sort of wrap. I'm not big on that.
Right.
But went out to a Mexican restaurant last week, and I had tacos, but in the hard shell, the crunchy shell.
I like the crunchy.
And you put your shredded beef in there, and your sour cream, and your corn, and your salad, and a little bit of like dressing on it. It was actually delicious. I'm actually going to try out some more hard shell tacos and that, because it was truly outstanding. So that was a
avocado and things, and chopped chilies and things.
Actually.
Oh my gosh! Okay, the only thing I'm saying now is that on Thursday night I'm going to a restaurant, a Japanese restaurant called Sakura House, and it's 31 euros for 2 hours. You can eat as much as you like, but there's a caveat to this. Every you get a ticket every 10 minutes, and you can go and order as much as you like. If you don't, in that 10 minutes, eat what you've ordered, then you can't get the next 10 minutes. If
you, in other words, you don't get the next ticket.
Exactly. And it's fantastic.
I actually went to a place.
Yeah.
I went to a Thai restaurant in very close to where I live in Bryanston.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a Thai restaurant there, and they had the eat as much as you like buffet. So you had hot food and cold food and sushi. Eat as much as you like, but they also had the one rule.
Yes.
You must order one plate at a time and finish it before you order your next plate.
You finish it. Exactly right. And it's quite right, too.
You've got to finish it and then order the next one. So you can't order 10 things and then only eat 6.
Thank you.
You must order one. Or you can order 2 or 3 on your first one, but you've got to finish those.
Yes.
And then any other one you take, if you don't finish it, you can't get the next one.
Yeah, well, I applaud that. Yeah,
and I think it's actually quite nice. So we're actually taking a lot of our friends out, not this Saturday, the following Saturday.
Yeah.
For this buffet, eat as much as you like stuff, because the food was fantastic. So you don't only have to have sushi. They've got the Asian soups and the starters and the spring rolls.
Yes.
But the same rule applies for everything. And I think that's actually a very, very good idea.
Me too.
Because then you can't. There's no food wasted, number one. And they've obviously done their sums and can still make money.
Mm.
Although if my friend from the garage, John, had to go there, they might regret that.
John the Guzzler, he probably put out of business.
His only limitation as to how much food he can consume is the availability of the food, not the capacity of his stomach. So if there's food, he'll eat.
Wayne, now I understand a little bit more about you after the conversation we've just had, because you work every day with people like John the Guzzler. Okay, Wayne, thank you very much for your time. As always, that's Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investment, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.